الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we bring another episode for you of our program that goes by the name of Repentance. Today, inshallah azawajal, we will talk about a beautiful verse of the Holy Quran in which we have been guided and persuaded, encouraged to repent, and we've also been told regarding the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And this verse talks about six attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we will look into the commentary of this verse, we look into the translation of this verse and try to derive some pearls of wisdom which we can implement in our lives as well. Before that, let's first of all listen to a virtue of reciting peace and salutations upon the Noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has stated that whoever recites salat upon me once, Allah Almighty writes the reward of one qirat for him. And one qirat is equal to the Mount Uhud. That's how much reward there is for a person who recites Salat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam only once. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, the verse of the Quran that we will be talking about today, that we will be discussing about today is verse number 3 of Surah Mu'min. Beautiful verse in which we find six attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are mentioned in this verse. It is stated in this verse, meaning that forgiver of sins, acceptor of repentance, severe in retribution, possessor of supreme reward. There is no God except Him. To Him is the return. So these six attributes have been mentioned in this blessed verse regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's look into these six attributes and further commentary that is stated in relation to this verse. The attribute number one, meaning ghafir dhanbi, forgiver of sins. It is stated that the Muslim who sincerely repents from his sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has promised to forgive his sins. A Muslim who repents sincerely, wholeheartedly over his sins, then Allah Almighty has made the promise of accepting his repentance and forgiving his sins. And Allah Almighty does not go against His promise. He Almighty has promised to forgive a Muslim who wholeheartedly repents over his sins, and Allah Almighty does not go against His promise. However, even without repentance, Allah Almighty may even forgive any Muslim whomsoever He wishes to. This would be His grace and mercy. So we find out, we come to know that Allah Almighty is the forgiver of sins. This is the first attribute which is mentioned in this verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He may also forgive any Muslim even without Him repenting, may He may forgive his sins. This would of course be His fazl, His karam, His ihsan, His mercy, His grace. And ghafir al-dhanbi, this is a term used in this verse. Ulama mufassirin, they've also deduced another meaning of this term ghafir al-dhanbi. They have one more opinion in this regard. They state that one more opinion regarding this is that this could also mean satir, meaning the one who conceals, the one who hides. So, in this regard, if this meaning is taken for غافر الذنب in this verse, then it would mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hides, conceals the major and minor sins of believers with His mercy, through His mercy in this dunya, in this world, and He will also conceal them in the hereafter on the Day of Judgment as well. So if this meaning is taken of غافر الذنب, meaning the one who conceals, then this would be the interpretation, the tafsir of this verse, that Allah Almighty hides, conceals the major and minor sins of believers in this world, and He will also do so in the hereafter as well on the Day of Judgment. So this is the first attribute that we have covered, غافر الذنب. Now the second attribute which has been spoken about in this verse is وقابل التوبة, meaning that the acceptor of repentance, Allah Almighty is the acceptor of repentance. So regarding this, it is stated that the disbeliever who repents from his kufr, from his disbelief, and the believer who wholeheartedly and sincerely repents from his sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His grace and mercy, accepts their repentance, even if that repentance is made a few moments before their death. So this is the second attribute which this verse talks about for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And third attribute which has been stated in this verse, شديد العقاب, meaning severe in retribution. So in this regard, it is stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish the disbelievers due to their disbelief in the fire of hell. Severe punishment will be inflicted upon them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, what we need to be mindful of, that there will be certain Muslims as well, they will also be inflicted with the punishment of hell due to their sins. So شديد العقاب, severe in retribution, this refers to the attribute of Allah Almighty, that the disbelievers will be punished severely in the hellfire, and there are some Muslims as well who will also be punished in the hellfire due to their sins. The attribute number four was ذِتَّوْن, meaning the possessor of supreme reward. Regarding this, it is stated that those who have the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who recognize Allah Almighty, who have the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them immense reward. Allah Almighty reward them immensely. For them there is great reward. So this is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those pious bondmen of His, who would of course through their pious deeds and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserve immense reward. Then the fifth attribute has been mentioned as La ilaha illahu, meaning that there is no God except Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only God. There is no other God except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now in this verse, all the attributes that are being mentioned of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the attributes of mercy and His grace which are being mentioned for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're solely and only for Allah Almighty. They are not for anyone else. They are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So since these attributes cannot be for anyone else apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one else can possess the similar attributes as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses. So hence there is no other God apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except for Allah Almighty. There's none worthy of worship except for Allah Almighty. There's no other God. There's no one else who can be worshipped besides Allah Almighty except Allah Almighty. And the last attribute which has been mentioned in this verse is إِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرِ, meaning to Him is the return. And regarding this, it is stated that this return refers to when on the Day of Judgment people will be resurrected again, and they all will be presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give account of their a'mal, of their deeds. They will be held accountable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their deeds on the Day of Judgment. So this is the return which is being referred to over here in this verse. So these are the six attributes that have been mentioned in this verse, and we also find out that amongst these six attributes where the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also being highlighted, where we are being told that there's no other God except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one else can be worshipped except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the forgiver of sins. He Azza wa Jal is the acceptor of repentance. All these attributes are being mentioned in this verse. The majesty of Allah Almighty is being highlighted. At the same point, we are also being encouraged towards repenting, towards adopting this approach of repenting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah Almighty is the acceptor of repentance. So when this is the grandeur, the majesty of Allah Almighty, that He forgives sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the repentance of disbelievers and of the sinners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives severe punishment as well, and He Almighty is the possessor of supreme reward, and He Almighty is the one who is the only God. No one else except Him can be worshipped, and the return is also towards Him when people will be presented in His court, where they will give account of their deeds. Then every disbeliever and every sinful Muslim, what should they do? They should seek forgiveness from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should keep asking for deliverance from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person should always strive and make efforts to attain the favors and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should always only worship Allah Almighty, no one else apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he should always make preparations for the account that he will have to give on the Day of Judgment for his actions. Based on these things, we determine and we deduce this fact that this verse serves as a great encouragement, a great persuasion for the people to develop a mindset to repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because all these factors that we are talking about, when a person would start striving for the attainment of reward and blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person would tread upon the path of preparing for the hereafter, for the presentation of his deeds in the court of Allah Almighty, all this will of course be followed by sincere repentance. The first step would be repenting in the court of Allah Almighty wholeheartedly. So this verse can also be taken as a great encouragement, great persuasion that has been given to us to repent in the court of Allah Almighty. There's a beautiful account in regards to this verse which has been narrated by Sayyidina Yazid bin Asam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. He states that once there was a very powerful person, and he was related to the people of Sham, to the people of Syria. And once Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, he didn't find him in his company, in his gathering. So he inquired from people about that person, that where is he? So people, they said that he's lost in the intoxication of alcohol. So Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he called for the scribe and he ordered him, instructed him to write. And what did he instruct him to write is as following. He says that, may mercy be upon you from Umar bin Khattab to so and so. Then he carries on to say that, I present the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you, besides whom there's no God. There's no one else worthy of worship besides Him. Then this verse was also mentioned in that letter. He stated, غافر الذنب قابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي التول لا إله إلا هو إليه المصير. Then Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he made dua. And those people who were sitting in his gathering at that time, they all said, Ameen. And what dua did he make in the favor of that person was that may Allah Almighty shower a sight of mercy upon him, and may Allah Almighty accept his repentance. This is the dua that Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala made for that person. Now, when that letter reaches that person, he starts reading it. And as he starts reading it, he kept saying that غَافِرِ الذَّنْبِ, Allah Almighty has promised forgiveness for me. وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبِ شَدِيدِ الْعِقَابِ, and Allah Almighty has made me fearful of his punishment. ذِتَّوْلِ, and Allah Almighty is the possessor of supreme reward. إِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرِ, and to him is the return. Now, this person, he kept reading this again and again. He would repeat this over and over to the extent that he started to cry, which led towards him making sincere repentance, making true repentance. When this matter, the repentance of that person, reached Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then he said to other people that you people should also do the same, that whenever you see someone committing a sin, then give him a chance to rectify himself, and moreover, keep supplicating in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may he repent, and do not become a supporter of Satan against him. So these are the words that Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned to the other people, that when you come across someone involved in a sin, then give him a chance to reform, to rectify himself, and make dua in the court of Allah Almighty that may Allah Almighty give him the ability to repent and do not become a supporter and aid to Satan against him. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, beautiful pearls of wisdom we learn from this account and from this verse. But do we learn that there are certain people in our society that once they find out about someone being involved in a sin, then the way they deal with them, what it results in is that the other person who was already involved in the sin, he becomes more daring and more firm in that sin because of the attitude that these people now adopt with him, the way they deal with him. So this shouldn't be the case. We should not hate the sinner. In fact, we should hate the sin. This is very important for us to understand. Don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. And we should try to advise him, we should try to reform him in such a way which should help him in abandoning that sin, in such a way which should make him inclined towards pious deeds, so that he reforms his deeds, he repents from his sins, and he comes towards piety, towards pious deeds, and starts treading upon the path of piety. Moreover, for such a person, when we come across any such person who is involved in sins, we should also pray for him, supplicate in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable him to repent from his sins, and may Allah Almighty enable him to tread upon the path of piety. This is the approach that we should adopt. So those people who adopt an approach through which those people who are involved in a sin, they become more daring and more firm in their sins, such people should reflect upon their approach. They should check upon their approach that whether they are becoming an aid to that person's reformation, or whether they're helping Satan the accursed. And beautiful pearls of wisdom and guidance we get from this verse, from the commentary of this verse, from the account of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, that we should hate the sin, not the sinner. We should make efforts, wait for the opportunities, and give opportunities to the other person to reform himself. And we should also try to advise him, try to advise him through sound wisdom for him to come on the right path, rather than adopting such an approach which would make him more daring and firm upon sins. So this is what we learn from this beautiful verse. This is what we learn from this beautiful account of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So we pray to Allah Almighty that may Allah Almighty make us amongst those who become an aid to other people in helping them to reform themselves. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to hate the sin, not the sinner. May Allah Almighty enable us to help other people to reform themselves, rather than helping them or making them more firm and daring upon their sins. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Amin Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. Sallu ala al-Habib Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam.
Allah, forgive me. Allah, forgive me. Have mercy on me. Guide me. Have mercy on me. Guide me.